Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Ruthie, Uni, Dad and me.
I'm Ruthie.
I'm Dad. You're just coming towards the end of your first
coming
term.
Coming towards the end of my first term of university at the Uni of York, if you didn't already know. And yeah, it's been a good term, tiring term.
But you were going to tell
us... It's been 2 whole months. It's really taken out of me.
2 whole months. It's outrageous.
It feels like a lot longer, though.
First of all, you've got 10 things you've learnt.
Yeah, I've prepared for you 10 things that I've learnt in my first term of uni, or 10 things that I think I've learnt. Maybe you'll disagree. So, number one, everything costs about 60p more than you think it does.
Right. You've learnt that from going out to the shops to buy stuff?
Yeah. Like, obviously, I've been to the shops before to buy things and the odd bits of food and stuff, but I've never had to do it fully on my own. And yeah, everything.
Everything.
Why is everything so expensive? Why can't it all be free?
Yeah, well, that's a good point. If you go with your mum and dad, of course, everything is free.
Everything's free? It's ridiculous that they start making you pay for stuff.
Right. So you've learned that. Would you think most students would notice that everything
is... I think most students would
say
be
60
like,
pence.
God, you spend so much money. Like, you spend so much money on things that you don't even think about. So, like, now when I go to buy...
Yeah, give me an example. I mean, are you buying like, stuff that you don't need?
Not really, no. Like, I just mean... Like, obviously, I know how much clothes cost and I know, like, when I can afford clothes and that those kind of things, or, like, tickets to gigs or even, like, the alcohol and stuff. Those kind of things didn't shock me because I've always had to buy those for myself. But it was stuff like now I really question whether I'll buy a bottle of water from a shop or an orange juice or something because I'm like, gosh, it's like £1.50. That's, like, a lot. Whereas before, because I didn't have any other outgoings, really... Nothing seemed as expensive, whereas now I'm like, oh, should I get that? You know, it's quite a lot. And that's adulthood, isn't it?
Welcome to adult life, yeah.
Welcome to the real world.
Number two.
A good mattress topper will vastly improve your life.
Number three.
No more to say that.
No, I think that's a truth. You know what Jane Austen said?
A truth universally acknowledged. Yeah. Number three. You don't need to iron anything. As a woman, I think maybe men do, because I think sometimes shirts must need ironing. I've not ironed a single thing since I've got to uni. Everything's worked out fine.
Right. But you look a little bit scruffy somewhere. What about when you go out to formal dues? You've just been out to a formal...
It didn't need ironing.
Really?
No. It's like a skirt that's made of a material that must not need massively ironing. Although maybe we'll see. I've got to rewear it tonight because obviously I'm not going to do two different formal outfits.
Yes, you're going to rugby do tonight.
I think so. I was someone's backup, one of my flatmates' backups for his rugby formal. So unless you manage to find a date in the last day, then yeah. You've got to, yeah.
So it's a bit of a date. So do they all call them formals at all universities? Is that just York?
I don't know. I think they do call them all formals now. I think it's an American import. I think they do call them formals now. Because I've seen people who go to Bristol and stuff.
Yeah. And the
you dress up fancy and you
black
go...
Black tie
and you dress up fancy and you have a meal usually. So we had like a 3-course meal at my proper formal, the one that I really wanted to go to, was on last Sunday. So I went and had a sit-down meal, had soup, salmon and tartar citron. Other people had like a tureen, and I always really wanted my card to say tureen because that sounded more fancy. Number four,
Yeah, number four. We'll just do number four. Then there's something I want to ask you. But
all right,
number four.
Do you want to do these? We can do three, and we can
three
include these. I mean, there's ten, so you can have a bonus one.
Three threes.
Yeah.
Okay, three.
Three threes and a bonus.
Three threes and a bonus. Yes. Yeah, I just wanted to ask you about the strike. There was a thing I saw in the papers that said students join picket lines to support striking lecturers. So the students are weighing in with the lecturers. I just wondered if that had happened at your place.
A little bit. I know that
you're not affected, are you?
I'm not really affected. None of my I've got one lecture a week because of the course I'm doing, and that lecturer is striking. So I've not had that lecture, but it's not really affected me. All of my seminars are still on. None of my principal teachers or professors have been striking, so it hasn't really affected me that much. I know that a lot of my friends and flatmates and stuff have not had really anything for these past 2 weeks, so they basically had
two extra weeks.
Yeah,
yeah, and then they're off for 4 weeks for Christmas.
Exactly. So really nice.
Yeah,
yeah, but there has been.
But has there been activity on the campus in terms of?
Not tons. There has been some people who have gone and protested with the teachers, and I did see some teachers protesting or seminar leaders and stuff, and. But there's not been massive amounts of I thought I would have to cross a picket line to go to my seminars and
stuff. Would you have done that?
But I haven't had to do that. The thing is, I probably would have, because my teachers, my seminar leaders and stuff, they specified we're here, please do come in. It's not a week off. We've decided not to strike. It's not really I didn't really feel it would have been within my right to be I think you should be striking, therefore I'm not going to come to these. Things and all that would have happened is I would have had to catch up, and I would have probably got emails being please come.
Just the other political question, which I don't know whether it's affected your university, students from Hong Kong. Apparently, there's been a lot of publicity about the fact that Hong Kongers who are studying in the UK have received death threats and abuse from Chinese students over these. And you will have people
world. There's quite a large population of Chinese and
Hong Kong
students. I would assume, they're from both China and Hong Kong.
But there's not been memos going round and
nothing
things.
Outward, nothing that I've seen, but. I don't know whether it is going on at York or not, but I would have thought that it would be if it's going on at other places, because there is a massive... most of the Chinese international students live on Campus East. Campus East is where the nicer accommodation is. So maybe it's been happening there and I've just not heard about it because it's further away. I don't know.
Number four? Yes.
You can get away with not washing your clothes way more than you think. I used to wash clothes every time I wore them.
Well, you used to put them in the wash at home. And
I wasn't washing the clothes. That's the whole point. Now, I wear stuff way more often. Not underwear and things. You've got to draw the line somewhere. But everything else.
Number five?
You will probably not meet the love of your life in Freshers' Week. And that's probably a good thing.
That is probably a good thing. You've not met the love of your life.
I haven't.
No.
And I think that is for the best.
Okay.
And I think people who do, I think that's good for them, but don't go in expecting that to happen.
Mm. So when do you think do you think that'll happen?
Definitely 10 to, yeah.
10 to maybe, or next, do you think you leave it a year or two?
I think that so many people do meet their future partners, at university, it's the highest percentage of people to meet them. I can't remember what uni it is where most people do or something. York is quite high up there for percentage of people who meet their future spouse at uni.
Possibly because it seems to be, from what I can tell, just looking out externally through you, it seems to be quite a friendly atmosphere at York.
Yeah, it really is. And I think it being a campus uni is, and also it being such a nice city, a lot of people decide to settle there afterwards. So I think that helps. But I don't think it... I think a lot of people go into their first year or their freshers thinking, oh gosh, I've got to, university, that's where everyone meets their... So future loves of their lives, but
your advice to people doing A-levels now is don't think you're going to meet the love of your life and don't put any
especially
pressure.
Especially not in Freshers' Week.
And don't put any pressure
on it.
Number six?
Number six. There will be people who will become just as good as the friends that you leave at home. They don't have to replace them, but you have room for more close friends. I think that's what I kind of learned. I kind of thought that I would have to lose touch with my old friends if I was to make good new friends, or my friends at uni wouldn't be as good as my old friends, but actually they're just different people, and there's plenty of different people who you will get along with really well, and you don't need to worry about replacing friends or anything like that. You've got room.
That was your huge worry when you were having your little wobble before and decided you didn't want to go to university. Your big wobble was that you were leaving these friends that, and I remember you said it on here on the podcast, you were leaving these friends that you've had virtually all your life.
Yeah, and all these shared experiences, and I thought, how could I ever have such, and I like really do love the friends I've got from home, and I thought, how could I ever make friends that would make me not feel lonely being in a new place with people who I barely know, people who haven't known everything about me for years and years, but you do, and there are, and there will be people who you click with, and maybe I'm very lucky that for me it's happened in the first term, and I do think they are friends that I hopefully want to be friends with for life, but if it doesn't happen in the first term, I'm sure it will for everyone else later. And I think that you have room for so many more people in like your heart or whatever. Not to sound so cheesy, but
sounds pretty cheesy.
Sounds pretty cheesy. But I just mean that you've got room for a lot of people in your life, and you don't have to worry about replacing people or anything like that. You can have them all, and you know, you can still remain the person you were at home and the person you are at uni. They don't have to be so in conflict.
I'll tell you some bad news, and that is you get to a point in your life where you don't need any new friends. And you meet people who might be your friends, but you think, no, really, I've got three close friends. That will more or less
do
it.
Yeah, they say age 25 is when you have the largest number of friends. But yeah, I think I was so worried that...
See, that's what gets me about the Gold Blend advert. There's this guy on the stage and there's a whole auditorium full of his friends.
But that's the whole point, is that they have all the lights on and then they switch off the light. I'm not defending this advert, but because it is stupid. But they do switch off the lights. And then he's left with, like, one person stood up, because that's how many people you, like, lose touch with. Mm. You've clearly entirely missed the point of the Gold Blend advert, Dad.
You know how keen I am to learn about all these new genders and everything?
Mm.
I'm delighted to say I've got a...
Dad was very excited then. He just very... here's one I made earlier, Blue Peter style, pulled out a book.
I've got this book which arrived at the studios at Talk Radio, and I thought, I know somebody who'll love this book. So I'm going to give it you as a pre-Christmas present. Basically...
See, that's the best thing about December. That's what I'm excited about being back home. You can use the... Early Christmas present? Yeah. Oh, it's a Christmas treat. It's December. It's almost Christmas.
This is a sort of... It's not a Christmas present. This is a sort of breaking up from a university present. But what sort of feminist are you? Because there are several different... Yes, what sort of feminist are you?
Intersectional?
Ah, we've got it here. We've got...
I don't really know many other ones, so I went for that one.
Well, we've got post-colonial feminism. It's linked to intersectional feminism. It's a graphic book.
Almost like a graphic novel, it looks.
Yes, but not a novel, because it's not a novel. Linked to intersectional feminism, post-colonial feminism criticises Western feminism for generalising about women's oppression from a Western perspective. It's been a lot of that, haven't there? So in the old days, these feminists like Germaine Greer could get up and they would just address these issues from how it affected, you know, white privileged females. But now, of course, if you're a post-colonial feminist, which I'm putting you down into that group, actually.
I would hope so. I mean, I hope that it should... in an ideal world, it would all be just feminism because, you know, it wouldn't be about just one person.
And this is what you're not in favour of, seeing women from non-Western countries as all having identical experiences and as having the same goals as Westerners. Denying non-Western women agency and going in as saviours to rescue them.
Yeah.
So you keep
that's the
quiet
problem.
About,
and, yeah. And the problem with like when feminism becomes a thing where it's like this arranged marriage is completely wrong. It's completely oppressive of women or whatever like that. And that's where it becomes a problem is because that is culture and you can't. And there are problems. There are things that feminism would help with and. But the liberation of women is not the same liberation for every woman. Mm. And it's the same thing with even if you look at just like white Western women, when feminists go mental about women choosing to be housewives.
Or ring girls.
Or ring girls, yeah.
Yeah. Your elder sister wrote a piece about ring girls, but pretty much from a Western feminist point of view.
But then the problem is that is also your point of view, isn't it? Like you can't... Can't change that. I don't know.
What about toxic femininity and intersectionality? Author Lovey Ajayi suggests that femininity can become toxic when women lack awareness of, and then there's a list of things. You love this book so much. Intersecting power structures other than gender. And the multiple forms that violence can take beyond physical and sexual, like symbolic violence, where dominant groups impose their ideology on others to make the status quo seem legitimate and natural. You're very much against that, aren't you?
It was a lot of big words then.
A lot of big words, but I think it means boomers like me assuming that the natural order of things, or the order of things that I grew up with, is the natural order. First wave feminism, there's pictures there of, it looks like...
Emily Davidson. Or Emmeline Pankhurst,
one of those people. There's quite a few of these here. African-American abolitionist and women's rights activist Sojourner Truth. Then we've got structure, agency and the sex wars. So a lot of...
Wow.
It's
a lot to get through. It's a light read.
Hell of a lot to get through.
For the beach, I would think.
Yes, expanding in contrast. Well, it's the sort of book to take to the beach if you don't want to be bothered by, by any boys. They see you reading about intersectional femininity, etc. Anyway, there it is. It's all yours.
Oh, look.
Gender, a graphic guide. You go.
Do I get a gift every week now?
Not necessarily, but you go home with a gift for breaking up from uni, which you do at the end of this week. 789.
The what? Drank wine?
Sorry?
What's the rhyme? 789. The...
789. The goose drank wine. The monkey chewed tobacco on the streetcar line. The lion broke. The monkey got choked. And they all went together in a little rowboat.
They all went to heaven, I think.
They went to heaven, you're right. They all went to heaven. That's Shirley Ellis, that one.
Shirley Ellis.
Yeah.
Good honour. Going out every day for a week will give you a cold.
Well, yeah.
It will.
Especially this time
just
of
will.
Year.
Yeah. You won't ever breathe properly while you're at university. That is...
You won't ever breathe properly?
Honestly, Dad, I've been slightly bunged up since I arrived.
Do you think that's due to the halls and the fact that...
I think it's a combination of it all. I think it's a combination of living in close proximity to a lot of other people who also have colds. I think going out quite often, then getting up early, having work to do, being in a new place. I think it's all of it. But, yeah, don't expect to feel fresh.
No, well, I heard you just snort then. So,
there you go. It's raw, this.
Yes, it is. So do you think the alcohol might be a major contributing factor?
I think that is a contributing factor, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where are we up to?
Number 8,
yeah, go on then.
Number 8, people won't like you more or less based on whether you're wearing makeup.
Right, so you...
I used to go to school, college, every day.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had makeup on. Mm. I would put on... I used to get lifts with one of my friends and we'd, like, have a car share. And I used to put makeup on in the car. And I used to wear it pretty much every day. Like, I'd feel very weird if I wasn't. And I've really got out of doing that since I've been at uni. I think maybe it's partly because I'm in a rush quite a lot of the time or, like, I prioritise seeing the people I live with or going for breakfast more than I do, like, putting on makeup and things, and putting on makeup then becomes like an event thing.
Do you think it's a sort of...
And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just because I'm getting older, but I really have stopped doing it and I feel like, it's not to say that I don't still feel more confident when I wear makeup, because I definitely do. It was something that I would like to not feel, but it stopped becoming like an absolute necessity.
Do you think that might be a bit of a North of England, Wakefield / Huddersfield thing?
Yeah, that maybe. That
girls in the North do tend to wear more makeup.
Yeah, look
girls
like they do, maybe.
Yeah, almost like a working class thing in a way.
Yeah, I mean, makeup. I guess if we were going to massively psychoanalyze or read into it or whatever, there might be a thing of,
well, because
if you feel
else
like
up
if,
here is yeah. wearing makeup.
Oh yeah, because of that, but also like if you feel like less confident or like you don't belong in a place as much, one of the things that you can control really easy, regardless of whether you're working class or whatever, is what your appearance is. You know, like I've got like writing meetings, which is one of the things that I often feel like I don't fit in there. I have imposter syndrome for going to, and whenever I go to those, I like to put on a proper face of makeup. Not that it's like I wear tons, but it makes me feel more like I belong in that place, and so maybe I feel very much like I belong at this university, and so don't feel the need to.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you're now in this, you're no longer, you know, a working class girl from Wakefield going to college in Huddersfield. You're now part of this sort of classless society. It's
yeah.
a bit, you know, where
I
you don't
so.
Feel
then,
you need to wear makeup.
I guess a lot of other people don't, because people are always like hungover in a rush or whatever. That helps, and then there's not so much of like a. I think also because of the type of boys I've been around. I was talking about this the other day. Like, the type of boys that I think I've hung around with have not been the type of boys that you would massively be friends with. It's always been the girls who I've been a lot better friends with. But since I've been at uni, the boys are actually, like, much more similar to the girls in a way. Like, there's not so much of a gender split. So maybe that helps as well. I'm not worried that I'll be judged as much for my appearance, because girls don't. As much.
Isn't it? Yeah, no, it's an interesting cultural difference in college, sixth form college, and
but
university.
You've noticed it. You said the other day, you're like, oh, you're not wearing makeup. Yeah.
Yeah, I did notice it. It's true. So you obviously feel quite comfortable with me. You don't feel you have to put your face on. While we're talking about working class, and we'll do 9 and 10 shortly, but while we're talking about working class society and coming up north and all that, interesting comments this week, which sort of echo what you were saying earlier in the series about Leeds. Northern Ballet's chief, Northern Ballet's a fantastic institution. He
used to do some dancing classes there myself.
You did, and I was always very impressed when I went there. He says it's still a struggle to combat snobbery towards Northern England and attract dancers to Leeds. Northern Ballet was founded in 1969, England's first publicly funded ballet company outside London. David Nixon, who's the artistic director, said snobbery is still very much there. It's not just in dance. Let's face it, it's everywhere in our country. You know, and I feel self-conscious saying dance, because obviously
dance.
You should be saying dance. He says Leeds is a great city, but being based in West Yorkshire could make recruitment difficult. When you try to hire people, they don't think, oh, I want to go and live in Leeds, so you've got to overpower that. Which presumably, you know, because we talk,
it's because it's so London centric, like the country, yeah. And then it also becomes a class thing of like London is where you live if you're middle class, like the south of England, home counties, and the north is just for working class people, which is obviously not at all true. But
yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you, if you're living in London, and speaking of somebody who goes down and works in London a couple of days a week, if you're living in London, why would you not want to live in Leeds?
Yeah,
I mean, I think the only thing that puts you off living in Leeds is the transport to London.
Yeah, the transport
is bad.
The train is bad. The transport within Leeds itself is diabolical.
It's not great.
It needs, the north needs investment into it. It needs investment into its image, like it needs marketing schemes and all of that, and it needs, no one had even, like when I've spoken about university, no one had even heard of the Hepworth in Wakefield, and I'm not saying they should have, like Wakefield isn't a massive place, but the Hepworth was Gallery of the Year, do you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people hadn't even heard of like the West Yorkshire Sculpture Park, even people who were from, so like, there's someone who's from Lancaster, I'm pretty sure they hadn't have heard of the Hepworth. Like, that's not that far away. That's all north. The northern cities feel very separate as well. And I think if those were joined together more to create this northern powerhouse that people talk about.
Mm.
Like, that would be good. But it is Gallery of the Year. What was it? Gallery, best gallery in Europe or whatever like that.
Yeah. I mean,
the curator
there, Simon Wallace, tipped me the winner of the Turner Prize a couple of years ago. This year it was shared between four different art installations, the Turner Prize, but that's by the by.
It's by the by, Dad. But I'm glad you let us all know.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Bit of music now?
Yeah, a bit of music, Ruth. Absolutely.
We'll start with yours. Another Scandinavian.
Norwegian.
Norwegian this time.
I was worried because I had Girl in Red the previous week, didn't I? She was also Norwegian.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm listening to solely Norwegian people now.
It sounds like it. We've had a lot of Scandinavians.
I've just been... This is another... So this is a song called When I Let Go by Faye Wildhagen. Wildhagen?
Wildhagen. No, that's more of a German.
Yeah, that's more of a German. Yeah, I don't know.
It'll be something like that. Let's hear Faye.
I need to run.
Well, what with Faye Wildhagen there, and we've had Sigrid, we've had Girl in Red, we've had First Aid Kit. Very Scandinavian. There's a sort of Scandinavian renaissance going on, isn't there?
I think there very much is. But one of the things that drew me to her was she's described as kind of a Norwegian and modern Joni Mitchell, and obviously a big Joni Mitchell fan. And she's very similar to like Bon Iver or Bon Iver. I always say Bon Iver, but I'm pretty sure you meant to say Bon Iver, but... yeah, I just thought such a pretty voice, and her music is that pretty thing without it being too like poppy and boring. Mm. And I really liked her stuff, but there's not too much to say of her. She's just 24 years old and from Norway.
Okay, well, this is a much older person. I would say she's about 50-ish now, maybe mid-50s. She's Mary Black. Have you heard of Mary Black?
I think I have.
She's an Irish singer. You should have done.
No, I'm
she's
pretty sure
good.
I have, yeah.
And I've got several of her CDs at home, which you may have seen. But I thought, as we've not featured Mary Black before, and as she is a woman with a sweet voice, I thought you'd like it. So this is Mary Black and the Circus.
No tricks to turn your head when love cannot continue. There's not much to be said.
That's brilliant. So, well, in my view,
she sounds a lot like Faith Hill, but better.
She is better, and I'll tell you why. For many years, What Hi-Fi magazine, which is a sort of magazine that hi-fi nerds used to buy, considered Mary Black's voice to be so pure that it was used as an audiophile benchmark for comparing the sound quality of different high-fidelity systems. So they actually used that to test the systems.
It was so clear.
Yeah, she's really, really well-known in Ireland. It's always mystifying why she's not better known over here. She's got a following, and she will fill concert halls over here, but not stadiums. So she would be...
I'd go and see her in a concert hall.
Yeah, she's really, really good. Born into a musical family in Dublin. Her father was a fiddler, somebody who plays the violin. Her mother, a singer, and her brothers, they had their own musical group, the Black Brothers, they were called, which would confuse people in America if they said, oh, we've got a band on tonight called the Black Brothers, and then they were all white people from Ireland. From this musical background, she began singing traditional Irish songs at the age of 8, and she began to perform with her siblings in small clubs around Dublin. But they've got this very, very vibrant scene in Ireland, a lot of fine singers who sort of build up an audience over there, a massive, you know, she'd been on TV over there with Gay Byrne and people who had TV, famous Irish presenters who had TV shows, but never really broken out. And the reason I know all about that is at the time when I used to be a famous disc jockey, the...
used to be.
Yeah, used to be. Well,
imperative.
Done. Imperative. Record companies would took us over to Ireland to watch her perform. The first time I'd ever heard of her, you know, when she brought an album out. And I thought, why isn't she massively famous? You know, she's got this brilliant voice. Yeah. But anyway, there she is. That's Mary Black and the Circus.
Just while I remember with my gender book being here, I meant to bring this up earlier, and it's just one of my just an observation from being at uni. I think the girls are better at adapting than the boys. I think the girls seem like they're much more stable, they're much better if they're a little bit sick at dealing with that and getting up and sorting themselves out and making food even and whatever. And I know it is very much a stereotype, but I do think we have more resilience, or we bounce back better. I don't know whether it's just because we're more mature, but definitely have seen that.
Yeah, and it's a stereotype for a reason. That's the thing about stereotypes. They're there for a reason. Sometimes they're unfair, but the reason they become stereotypes is because it's true.
Yeah.
And having had three daughters and one son, and comparing how resilient you are between the four of you, it's not difficult for me to choose the son as the least resilient.
I guess it's just one of those things, is like, boys kind of need a mother all the time, and then what's the saying about the men don't marry a wife, they marry a new mum or whatever.
Replacement mum, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think there might be some truth in that. Let's look at the emails, shall we? Not a huge lot, but there's a few. Hugh Besant, who had the audacity to ask for Billy Bragg as a music choice, and then he complained about the track that we played. He said, why that song? He says,
often when I'm doing a first song, just to introduce you to a person, I'll go for like their most popular or their second most, or one that sounds very classically them. You always go for one that's a bit...
Well, no, that's not quite his most famous, but one of his most famous. And, of course, we had all the Kirsty MacColl link. He says, it's about time your music selection had some classic Stevie Wonder. But obviously, you know...
I know all the Stevie Wonder, unfortunately.
You know, they're all the well-known ones, anyway. He says, I was intrigued to hear Ruth banging on about the eight... Banging on? My daughter you're talking about, banging on about the 8-8-8 daily routine. That's what every adult lives, although the playtime usually gets reduced by all those annoying things like travelling, cooking, eating, cleaning, washing, and eventually looking after kids. Would it have helped you if this 8-8-8 thing had been introduced to you maybe at college?
No, so I still think it's mental. I still don't think it works.
No, of course you can't do it, but it is a sort of template.
Yeah, maybe if I'd been introduced to it, so I just knew about it, then that would have helped. Yeah.
Okay,
quite possibly.
Yeah. Mark Ridley says, I'm really enjoying your university life podcast. So since we've put the focus on you, Ruth, I'm talking about...
That's when you start to like it. Before, indeed, he was just listening to get through it.
Precisely. I had three boys who all went to university, and I had no idea what they did. The odd phone call home just consisted of a few grunts.
In fairness, you wouldn't know what I was doing if we didn't do this.
Well, that's true, actually, because you don't keep in touch a whole lot.
No.
I sent you the odd picture of what I'm doing and stuff. When they rented privately in their son, this is something for you to watch out for. Mark says, when these boys rented privately in their second and third years, they had real difficulty in getting their deposits back. You're about to pay a £450 deposit, and it is such a scam.
I know.
The only advice
it really is daylight robbery of students, and it's actually disgusting how much they put up the rents every year. And the fact that it gets earlier and earlier to the thing. You know, the deposit, specifically that scam.
It is a scam. He says, the only advice I would offer is try and obtain a contact number of a student whose house you hope to rent to see if they had problems getting deposits back. Well, you don't know who was renting your
place. I've got the... the current tenants.
Oh, we'll find out if they had trouble getting the deposits back. Mm. Also establish whether, and this is advice for all students who may be listening to this, establish whether at the end of your tenancy a deep clean is included in your rental payments.
Yeah.
Yours not. All three of mine had money deducted from their deposits to cover an end of tenancy deep clean. The fees for this clean were never documented. So, as you were saying to me on the way up here, it's just taking advantage of students because they can.
Don't know, and because there's not enough student property for all the students who need to get it, so they know they can charge more. They know that they can have students in their house 1 year and hoist up the rent loads and loads because they know that they can find more students to fill them. And it's completely unfair, and in some ways the university should step in and say, this is not okay. And it's at every uni as well.
Yeah.
And it's wrong, and it makes uni inaccessible for people.
Of all the things that have been said during this election, most of which I've sort of been ignoring, the one thing which I thought was absolutely spot on was what, and this is no way instruct people how to vote because I'm not a fan. But
We're not allowed to say this, are we?
We're not allowed to say. But I can say that, you know, one or two good ideas have been floated out. And Jeremy Corbyn, what he said about private rented accommodation, inflicting like an MOT test for flats on private landlords and actually clamping down on private landlords.
Sorry, what does that mean, like an MOT test?
Well, like when you have a car, you have to prove that your car is roadworthy every year. So you have to take your car in for what they call an MOT, Ministry of Transport test or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he says that should be the same system for privately rented accommodation. So every year, they have to have an inspection to check that the accommodation's okay. And there ought to be more clamping down on bad landlords and more making the system so we get more good landlords.
Yeah.
So I think too little basically, I'm not sure all his ideas are right or all his ideas are going to work because it's not our place to say that anyway. But what it is our place to say is there certainly ought to be more checks.
There's certainly some massive problems in
privately rented accommodation, absolutely.
Would you like a mid-podcast Your Crush?
Yes.
Because we didn't have one at the start.
No, we didn't. Well, and you've still got 9 and 10 to do.
I've still got 9 and 10. But, you know, people, I'm thinking in my head, people have listened to the beginning, they're thinking, wow, those were some good things that she's learned. You want to make sure they listen till the end. So, there you go.
Your Crush, where we go.
TW, you're so fit, but so dull. Fancy getting a personality so I don't feel guilty every time I get with you.
That is harsh.
I always read the ones that are a bit harsh because they're like really funny and stuff, but some of them are genuinely really sweet and things. So like this one I thought was really, this is, you know, a counter to that crudeness, which is a nice one. Guy in blue knitted jumper on top of Fairhurst, that's one of the library buildings, at sunset, learning some math in a little group. Fancy you.
Let's have 9 and 10.
9 and 10, okay. Number 9, eat pasta straight out of the pan. Saves on washing up.
Ah, well, everybody, we've all done that.
But I thought there was, I thought there was a real plus point to putting it into a bowl because that's, you know, the done thing. But actually, it makes the pasta colder quicker and there's just no need.
But you can also put some butter on it then. It does make it taste nicer with a bit of butter.
No, I put the butter straight into the pan because I'm washing the pan anyway.
Yeah.
So I put the butter and the sauce into the pan. And then because it's so hot while it's in there, the butter melts much easier because the pan's hot. It's actually a better way. You know what it is? It's paella.
No, it's not. Paella is
it's not paella, but they keep it in the big hot pan.
Chicken things. Yes, they keep it in a big hot pan. That's more of a balti type of idea.
A balti or a paella. Any of these dishes where they serve them in the hot pan.
Okay. And you've still not got a sandwich toaster.
No. I don't think I need one. I've taken to doing...
We get more mail about your sandwich toast. I ought to actually give the address.
Maybe we should get sponsored by George Foreman, then I can get one.
Yeah. That's an idea.
Someone send us one.
Yes, if you do want to... Oh, this is one of the emails I never read. Rich Powell, who is the father of three girls.
Oh, just like you?
Yep, aged 6, 5, and 5 weeks.
So this will all be hideously
out of date, but you'll be able to teleport yourself to university.
Yeah, no one will go to uni. They'll just have chips inserted into their heads.
Precisely.
Or
yeah, I consider it training for the future, he said, when I will have to deal with an awful lot of excessive estrogen in the house. But the good news is that he's a bit of a fan of my broadcasting.
Here's this brilliant email we've got to read that just says, you're good.
No, it doesn't say all that. But he says when he was in his early teens, he used to tune in religiously to the show that myself and Edouard Lepaglier used to do on BBC BBC North. So, but it was an email, and we were short on emails this week. So if you do want to, this is just to illustrate, if you do have anything to say about university, maybe what you learned, the 10 things that you learned at uni in your first year, you can get in, or your first term.
A lot of things I've learned.
You have.
In just a term, but I think it does force you to learn stuff quite quickly.
Reassess, doesn't it?
If you've learned anything that you could impart on me, then it's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. That's martinandruthpodcast, all lowercase, @gmail.com.
It certainly is. Man, you're getting so professional.
I know. And while you're on the internet, go over to Spotify if you want to hear Faye Wildhagen or Mary Black in full, and type in Ruthie, Me and My Dad. Because I don't think that's changed to Ruthie, Uni, Dad and Me.
On Spotify.
No.
Unfortunately, our major, our executive producer has broken his leg.
Did he?
It's not funny. He's broken his leg rather badly. So he's at home with a big sport sock thing on, you know, those things that they put on your foot. So he's not around at the moment to change all the various... various
ways. Doesn't matter. It's very easy to find anyway. Over to Spotify and type in Martin and Ruth.
Just Martin and Ruth, and it'll work.
And if you want to
email us, it's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. And we always love to hear from you, because the more that you do,
more the merrier.
Yes, the more that you do, the less that we have to do, which is
true. And also, was it Rich Powell?
Rich Powell, yeah.
He was saying that it's out of, you know, would be out of date by the time he got there. But
well, we were saying that, really, yeah.
No, he said that, didn't he?
No.
Oh, did you say that?
I think we best, let's not review what we've just said.
Okay, I'll just go from, so the email from Rich Powell, was saying, you said about his, that what we were saying will probably be out of date by the time his kids are all grown up. But... actually, there's about that difference between me and Anna, and I think that you've had quite a similar kind of experience. And I think even if you spoke to someone, all the things I'm saying that I've learned will probably be exactly the same things, especially about friendships and falling in love and all that kind of stuff.
And pasta.
I think, and pasta. There's the universal themes, friendship, love and pasta. Would you like number 10?
Have we had number 9?
Yep, okay, that was pasta.
Ah, so this is the bonus one, number 10.
Yeah, well, the bonus one should have been in a number 11, but I don't have one, so... number 10. I'm not a grown-up, but I'm much more of a grown-up than I thought I was.
Yeah.
I thought I was a little kid. I thought the first week when I was so sad and so lonely, and I thought, oh my God, I can't do it, would be... the whole year. I thought it would be me being like a scared kid for a year, but actually I don't want to sound like I'm bragging, but I'm quite strong, and I'm quite grown up, and I can do it.
Yes, and it surprised us, I have to say, but I think that would be the experience with a lot of parents, that, you know, they're surprised, because for 18 years...
You're their baby.
It's Ruth, come on, get in the car, we'll take you there, but Ruth do this, Ruth do that, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
It's time for your tea. Ruth, tea's ready, all that stuff. And then we suddenly find that you're actually having to do that for yourself.
Mm.
And I mean, this is not just my experience, this would be the experience, I think, of any parents. And in a way, I think that this whole thing about empty nest syndrome, a lot of it is
not the actual fact that they're gone, it's the fact that you realise they don't need you as much as you
there's
thought
that,
they did.
And there's also a bunch of activity that you have which you no longer have.
Mm.
And that could be that can be a real problem. You know, you're very used to rushing around and taking your kids to places that, oh, blimey, it's dancing lessons tonight or whatever.
Yeah.
You're so used to doing that. And that's the area of activity suddenly taken off you.
Yeah. And so, you said it was even stuff like when I would come in the door and we would have a big, you know, what do you do with your day or whatever. You don't really have that anymore, I guess.
No. I mean, I can always ask your mother what she did with the day.
Yeah, no, but it's not the same, is it? You're not as interested.
No, it's not the same. No, it's true.
No, but I have. I do keep thinking, like, there's a bit of me that I used to have really bad, like nightmares, and I would hate going to sleep and stuff, and used to have to, you know, get you to like sit with me until I get to sleep. And I still,
oh, that's when you were about 6 years old.
No, but not even six. Like, I think I was probably like 9, 10. Like, it's times when I actually fully remember and stuff. Remember how, or like even when I was probably about 12, I really hated going to sleep.
I can remember some movie
stuff.
You saw. There was some movie where somebody went into a girl's bedroom and assaulted her or something.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it wasn't a film. It was an article. It was an article I read about. It was in the Bible Belt of America or something. And there was this girl, and her family were religious, and they did loads of charity work and stuff. And then one of the men that they'd helped like came into their house because they didn't even lock the door and things. And then they just took her and like raped and assaulted her and stuff when she was 14, and then by the time she was 28, she got like seen in a. Someone will remember what this story is, but this is what
I
remember.
It was a documentary on the telly as well.
Well, I remember reading the article about it, and she was 28, and she got found in like just a supermarket, and she had like a 14-year-old kid, and for some reason that really got inside my head. You can see how much I still remember the story, but yeah. I do keep thinking when I'm laid in my bed in my new university room. Is there going to come a day when I'm just really terrified again and I don't want to do it? And
no, then, I think you've been through that.
Some part of you that still thinks of yourself as like a little kid.
Do you have a meme of the week?
I don't have a meme, but I've chosen instead to do a your fashion. So I've talked to you about your crush, Dad.
Mm.
Understand what that is. This is a thing called Your Fashions, which are where people will post their secrets.
Oh, confessions, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's University of York, so it's Your Fashions. And I just thought this one was really funny. To the guy who was stumbling down Lawrence Street, that's a street close to uni, last night at just gone midnight, screaming "Someone You Loved," the Lewis Capaldi song, at full volume, whilst also walking into everything possibly imaginable in a near perfect zigzag. I hope you got home okay.
Very nice. So that's it for this week.
That's it for this week. My last week of uni, but we will be back next week.
We will be back next week because obviously you're home, so it's easier to be back.
Mm.
But I'm wondering what you're going to have to find stuff to talk
to
about.
Tell you,
that
yeah.
isn't university. But next
but
week.
I think it's going to be strange being back in my own bedroom, so.
So you can talk
tell
all,
you
about,
all about that.
That's going to be a fascinating 50 minutes.
It'll just
bedroom.
Be me talking about how brilliant having a double bed is.
Yeah, well, it may very well be. So that's it for this week. We're back next week.
Yeah.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.